In today's episode, I'm an old grandpa, Mike has an interesting take on the Steam Deck, Samantha is a juggalo, and JJ lands his dream job. Far, far into the future. This is episode 82.
About to get my DNA results back.
Oh,
I think you're half Sharpay.
I bet
we'll see. Angela's family prides themselves on being Italian, and yeah. She got her results back this morning, and there's no Italian. It's French and Spain.
I can't wait till Mike opens his up and it says that dude from Miami Connections.
This is going to be just his picture.
Just this guy.
If only I'd known that was coming, I could have like worked with Angela to like paste that guy's picture on your father's side.
We tried to do that too, but they said it works best if you have a male do it. So we left it to Austin, and he fucked it up somehow. They were like, we can't get results off this. So can you send another one? And he never did.
So did you do the hair one, or did you do the spit one?
Spit. And
I can see. That's the only hope I would have. If they're like, you know, we need hair. You'd be like, yeah, good luck, bro.
Doesn't have to be on your head.
Send him a pube.
I was like, you know, single. No, I'll be like, hey, here you go, back hair.
Sorry, this hair is too curly to accept.
Just send him a shoulder blade hair. It's the best. All right. Do we want to talk about some video games first to start off the year, or do we want to talk about a cinematic masterpiece today?
Let's talk about a game, because I knew my name for this.
You knew your name. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I guess we will find out your name today on Fun Sphere Game Club. My name is Josh, and I welcome you.
My name is Stwooch.
Oh, that's what you meant. I was like, what do you mean your name?
After I wrote that, I was like, this is the dumbest sounding thing I have ever heard, and I can't stop saying it.
Oh, okay. My name is Switch, with two I's and Switch.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm J2? Yeah.
J squared.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just start off talking about the big announcement. After 4+ years of recordings.
Big announcement.
We are now
here. Fields of Mystery, a big update in March.
That's it. That's the one.
No, not even March. April.
Fields of Mystery, his next big update comes out in March.
Yep. So, the Switch 2 was finally revealed.
Kind of.
And kind of.
Do we? So do we think that they just slapped that together because the leaks got so crazy?
Yes. I think they even addressed that at some point. They're like, yes, we showed this because of the numerous leaks. So why don't we give our first impression things? Because we had a good little, text chain going about the thing and stuff like that. All right, Mike, did you notice it first? Like, did this come out of nowhere?
I saw it on Reddit within like 5 minutes of it being announced.
Okay, so
it
was just
very
kind of
immediate.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't watch the thing.
Oh, you did not. Okay.
It's nothing.
It's just showing what it looks like. Basically.
It does look sleek.
I'm glad that it's going to be bigger. We have been complaining since the beginning that it's too small, and we wish there was a pro version that was a little bigger.
Yes.
Steam Deck is pretty big.
Yeah. And not just the,
I told you, Steam Deck sounds like some kind of poop prank.
Well, I didn't name it.
Just left a big Steam Deck.
Okay, that's fantastic. It's good.
You don't think it sounds like a poop prank?
It, a little bit, but like it seems like there's a spot missing. Like there should be. Like,
here's the thing, Samantha.
Sounds,
someone left some.
I'm distracted also by all the fire trucks that are leaving.
Okay.
Well, they probably had to put out a Steam Deck on some.
They did because an apartment was on fire, and I can only assume it was from a poop prank gone awry.
Steam Deck.
You know, we live in a fast-paced, constantly changing world, but it is reassuring to me to know that we're always going to start out our years with some sort of poop or barf joke here at Funsphere Game Club. It's good to know that.
I'm drinking that probiotic soda poppy, but everyone calls it poopy because that's what the name looks like. That's what it makes you do.
Oy vey. Okay. All right. So, Samantha said yes, it does look sleeker, and Mike is impressed that it does look bigger. I can already see some stuff that's going to break on it very quickly.
They're saying that they're magnets that hold it in place, so I'm really curious if it's going to be a strong enough connection.
I thought they looked like little like USB-C connectors.
That are inside it, but it's supposed to be magnetically held together.
Those things are going to snap off in the first week.
Yeah. That's what my friend at work was saying. Like, he wants one, but now that he has a baby, he feels like it's just going to get destroyed by the baby.
I mean, magnet technology is pretty crazy, though, because even, like, my phone, I've got this stand.
Uh-huh.
And it
Thank you,
gets
Samantha.
Really
Thank
strong.
Thank you very much. Oh, wow. Okay. So, the one thing I did not watch the follow-up thing on is, I don't know, are they calling them Joy-Cons or whatnot? Are they now a mouse on top
there,
of everything
It's
else?
Rumored that there is, it can act as a mouse. Because it's got, they're thinking that there's an infrared sensor on the inside this time so that you can manipulate it like a mouse.
There's 28 images here to look at.
So then with that said, they only should release point-and-click adventure games from the 80s.
I hope they do.
I think the screen looks nice. Oh, it
has
a little stand.
It's time to be able to revisit Return to Zork.
The return to the return.
Want some rye? Course you do.
Wait, so they don't slide in anymore. They just, like, clock. They magnet.
They snap in, yeah.
Supposedly.
Oh, that seems dangerous. I would not give this to a child.
And I don't think they've released any of the tech specs for it yet.
No. People are speculating that Mario Kart is going to be 24 players.
I saw that.
So
I did
many.
See that.
Yeah, it's too many.
They're all behind you, though. When I.
Can you imagine how many goddamn blue shells?
Place would be so stressful. It's like
it's too many items.
It'll make
your blood pressure immediately spikes as soon as you get in first place.
That became my strategy in that game is just stay in second.
Yeah. I was going to say they showed the improved stand. I think that was a good idea. Although I don't think I've ever used my stand.
Wait, it has one?
Switch.
Yeah,
yes.
It looks so much flimsier than the OLED, though. I love that the OLED is, like, it seems like it's weight resistant, and it's, like, the whole back half.
Yeah. And I was going to say, they showed the, it's still dockable. They didn't show anything about the dock, so there's no kind of indication if it's, I'm not thinking it's going to be 4K or anything like that, but. Maybe
it's weird that they're going back to LCD screens too.
Yeah, I thought that was odd too. I guess it's just maybe could be components or could be pricing, I'm sure. I know that they talked about that they are to get ready for like the scalping issues they've had. They said they're supposed to be ready to have 20 million units at launch.
That'll be good.
Which is, that is a huge amount of devices at launch.
Bet your money it's not going to launch until the holidays.
You think it's going to be pushed back?
Oh, yeah. If they're not even showing a reveal until April, I bet they're... Because they had sworn that it was going to be a first quarter thing, and they've already gone back on that.
Okay. Now, I guess the other good news was it was announced that it's going to be backwards compatible with some games. JJ, you had a very interesting game that you think it should not be backwards compatible with.
Or it may look like Red Dead 2 when it's running on the new Switch. Deadly Premonition 2.
I think if you put that in the Switch 2, which I'm still not sold on it being a great name called Switch 2, it
makes sense.
Yeah,
Switch would have been better.
I think Super Switch would have been better. I think if you put any copies of Deadly Premonition 1 or 2 in it, it should just pop up a screen that says sorry, and then you also get a Nintendo Store credit for like $20.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it should just like erase everything off your console because you don't deserve to have it.
It just pops up a message that says why.
Your Nintendo privileges are revoked.
And then it shows that girl just slide across the entire screen like she did on my map.
While playing the whistle song from the first one.
I was going to say, or you know how it has those messages like certain flashing sequences may cause something. And if continuing to play, please go see a doctor. It just says, if you wish to play Deadly Premonition 2, please see a psychiatrist.
Well, think about if that's your experience. You go out, you spend whatever amount the Switch is going to be, and that is the first game. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to go play I just wanted the Switch, so I'm just going to play Deadly Premonition 2.
I feel like skateboarding I don't have the money around New Orleans.
Yeah. All right, so we know Mike will immediately get one at launch.
Which is funny because I did not do that with the original Switch. I waited until Mario came out is when I finally caved. But remember, I was so pissed off at them for the Wii U.
Yep.
That I was like, fuck, no, I'm not getting that. And then Odyssey came out and I was like, God damn it, I have to have
that.
Yeah, because we had the Wii U and then we...
I love the Wii U, but they didn't support it for anything.
Because everyone else hated it.
Yep, that was the kind of the case. And like I bought one off of eBay before the store for it was taken down, and I grabbed a bunch of the games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, this was really good, and it just did not get the support it needed. Now, of course, we all dumped on it at the time it came out, and there were certain things that were very unimpressive about it. But
like
the
name. So fun to say, Wii U like to play.
And then I think the other thing is cool was the president of Nintendo at the time, when it failed, he had his salary cut in half instead of losing any of the positions for Nintendo. That was a cool dude.
Good guy. Iwata.
Iwata. Yep. All right. Well,
so, yeah, anybody else adopting it besides me?
I never get a console until, like, after a year it's been out. Usually just because of money and also because I don't like to get first run.
I'm just going to say, with the announcement that it's backwards compatible, I don't feel the need to jump on it immediately. I'll say that. I don't think there's going to be any kind of... Unless there is a new Zelda and Metroid Prime 4, which there won't be, and something that's wild, like for launch titles, I just don't see
it. If they put out Tomodachi Life 2, I'm on it. Day one.
It is time to revisit that game.
I was thinking about it. I still have my DS. I was like, man, I wonder how they're doing.
Such a weird game.
I love it. God, I played it so much. I just started making like characters from my favorite things and make them date each other. It's so hard to manipulate it though, because it's like random.
I'm going to be interested to see the price point on it. I will say that.
My guess is $400.
You think $399?
Yeah.
That's too many bucks.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Well, I guess, what is it, $349 for an OLED still?
Yep.
I think. So that's not
And
terrible.
It's a bigger size, so.
I'm just saying I hope they don't try to do a $499. I think that was going to be too much for it.
I don't know, because the Steam Deck is still, what, $600 or $700?
Very expensive. They
have
Oculus, or the Meta Quest 3 is $500.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, I think aren't there LCD versions of the Steam Decks that are cheaper?
The cheaper Steam Deck, I think, is like $500, and then the OLED one is $600 or something.
Yeah, so I guess it could be a similar price point, but I don't think.
They've gone down. So $399 for the 256 gig LCD. $549 for five. That's what I have. I have this OLED $549, $512.
Okay.
I'll put Baldur's Gate on there. Actually, all my Steam games are on there.
Yeah, my brother got one, I guess, for Christmas, and he plays some game called, like, what did he call it? Pageant Regalia, and I said Pageant Gorilla to him because I thought that was funnier.
How cool of a game would that be?
I thought so too.
You're a gorilla in a beauty pageant.
Do you play as the gorilla or the judge?
Both.
Ooh.
There's two runs you can do. Judge path, gorilla path.
And yeah, like the judge path is like new game plus. Yeah. So that's one of those things. I hope that this Switch 2 is successful, just because I never want to see Nintendo fade away. But I hope they also don't try to outprice themselves again, because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you could just get a Steam Deck for the same price.
Yeah, you could install mods.
You run a real risk with that.
Did you hear that they're supposed to be doing another Direct next month?
No, I had not heard of that.
Who told you this?
Yeah, it says focusing on games for the original Switch.
Oh, it's going to be 10 seconds.
So
like,
now
none.
People people said games that have been rumored, Prime 2, Prime 3, Wind Waker HD, Twilight Princess HD, Fire Emblem 4 Remake, Kirby Planet Robobot, and Kid Icarus Uprising.
Okay, so I will say this. I would be interested in the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HDs.
Mm-hmm.
I still have the Metroid Prime trilogy on the Wii U, so I don't necessarily feel too hyped about those. But
I would like to have it.
I know you mentioned that the Prime, was it a remake or is it just a port? Like in between, not quite a remake, but a little bit more than a remaster.
No, the one on the Switch is like a complete remaster.
Oh, okay.
It's like the Resident Evils that they've been going back and doing.
Oh, okay.
So it looks really, really good. You didn't ever play it?
Nope. I never bought it. I've looked at it a couple of times. Just because I was like, I was kind of bummed it wasn't all three of them put together.
Yeah.
I was one of those people. But I don't know. Maybe the good thing about with the successor coming out is it may cause some price drops in some games. That's a pretty far-fetched thing for Nintendo to do, but they might.
I mean, remember when they used to do, like, the player's choice for good-selling games? They would knock them down to $20.
Okay, so you mentioned it being, calling in the Super Switch would have been a better idea. The one thing I don't agree with that. I was going to say, I was only bringing it up for this reason. Do you remember, of course, when the Super Nintendo came out, they had the NES redesign, the top loader that was so good and still so sought after? And then they also did a Super Nintendo redesign. Yeah. So I kind of wonder if they'll maybe drop one last Switch version. Like maybe, I don't know, like an OLED.
They even did it with the Wii.
Yeah.
Remember the Wii Mini or whatever it was?
Yeah. I remember that.
so many weird very late in its life cycle redesigns.
Not as many as I'm trying to remember. Did the PS3 had four different designs by the time I think the PS4 had maybe three or four as well.
All the PlayStations did.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you're right.
Because the PS1 had the PSONE.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then the PS2.
The two got the slim line.
Got the slim after the fat. And then also multiple colors available, especially regions. There's some very rare ones, like a pink one for Japan only.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really good. And then I was going to say the PS3 had its redesigns. Especially after it took out the backwards compatibility issue of the very first versions.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
God, the PS3, it had 40 different models because each hard drive was its own model.
Yep.
I hated working at GameStop during the PS3 era.
Yep.
That's when I worked there.
Yes, it was. We worked there together.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, before we move on to talking about games we've played, did anybody catch the news about Nintendo finally admitting that emulation is legal?
Yeah. Because they are using it themselves?
Because they're using it in their own museum.
So
the company that is the most gung-ho, you will never emulate our stuff, we will take down every emulator we can, is like, in court, they're like, yeah, we used emulation.
So are they going to change their stance on it? And
no.
No.
It's legal for us.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I think that was actually one of their arguments, is because we are still the original right holders. We can emulate our own programs. What I think because they, of course, use emulators on their current systems. You know, you play the Super Nintendo games via an emulator.
Yeah.
So I think that was their legal argument. We're not a third-party emulator. We're using our
emulators. Don't you remember when the 64 games first came out? They were having all kinds of issues, and it was with the emulation.
Yes. They certainly were.
The emulation.
We're all living in an emulation.
Yep.
Especially this week.
I will say, yes. real quick question for you, Samantha. Does the Steam Deck support emulators?
I don't know. I haven't played with it too much, but I think you can... I don't know. There's a lot you can do with it. I know that you can, get... So, I didn't buy Final Fantasy XIV through Steam, but it works really well on the Steam Deck, apparently. And apparently there's... I know there's, a workaround to get it on the Steam Deck if you didn't buy it through Steam. That's a third party thing. So I imagine there is a way.
Okay.
Is it its own operating system, or does it use Windows or something Linux?
Again, I'm not 100% on that, but I know you can install obviously for Baldur's Gate now you can just install mods through the mod manager, so that's its own thing, but you can install Stardew Valley mods, which I haven't messed with too much, but that uses Smappy. So I think it's just you have to really want to mess with it. I'm sure on Reddit these answers are there, but I don't know. I've just been playing Fields of Mystria because it looks so good on the Steam Deck. It's so crispy. Okay. It's it was made for this kind of screen instead of a huge computer screen. It just looks amazing. And it runs really well. I tried Marvel Rivals on it because it's all... But I still haven't gotten that into Marvel Rivals. I don't know why people are so obsessed with it. I think just because it's free and it's on everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I like it a lot so far, though, the Steam Deck. I'm excited to... In fact, after this, I'm going to buy... I know what game I'm going to get.
Okay. What game is it?
Sorry We're Closed. It's it's one of the artists of Paradise Killer made it.
Oh, okay.
And it's some kind of horror. It looks like Silent Hill with a Paradise Killer type aesthetic So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because before I bought the PlayStation, what do they call it, the View, I had been looking at like the Steam Deck, and I've been looking at Steam Deck competitors, like Logitech's got one and stuff like that. And I was like, I want one that can work with the PlayStation, the Xbox, and like I could upload stuff. So it's, they have some of those, but they're like very expensive. And I'm looking for the day where I think we're gonna, there's a lot of talk that Microsoft is going to be trying to get into a handheld version, because I don't know, there, a lot of their advertisements, if you guys have seen them, talking about how well they're playing with all the other companies. You know, they're letting the Xbox games go. Even rumored to be, we will see the Master Chief Collection on PlayStation this year. That's pretty big. That's like seeing Mario on Sony or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they may be in talks with Steam to let them remote play via the Steam Deck.
That would be cool.
I think it would be really cool if I could also remote play my Xbox via my View. If they're like, part of their partnership was like, all right, we're going to let you do that. Let us create an app where you can then remote play through your device. I don't know if they'll do that, but that would be freaking sweet.
I mean, they already do it with the, like, your phone or tablet.
Yes, they do that. I just don't like taking my phone out of my case all the time.
I'm trying to look. My friend Ryan has been using some, or when he had to get a new PC, he was using something like that. It was remote play. He was like, I think playing on his phone or something, but I'm not 100% if that was what it was. But it, like, he was able to play Overwatch with us with no issues. And
I have the Backbone controller, like I said, and it's pretty good and it works really well, especially for Microsoft. But literally the biggest problem is they're not compatible with phone cases. So you have to either take your phone out of your case, which in my case is pretty rugged, and it's literally a pain in the ass to take the phone out.
I don't know.
It's just one of those things. It's like every time I try to do this, it's like there's always something that makes me just pick up the controller instead of doing the remote.
Yeah.
Ease
of use isn't there.
Well, I was also, the reason I brought it up is because I was thinking about Nintendo's emulation issues, and I was like, there were some emulators for Steam Deck or something that I thought that they were using to play Switch games on it. So
I think there has to be. There's no way, like, people love breaking that shit.
Yep.
Man, what was it? I don't think it was the Backbone. It's when Dragon's Dogma 2 came out. I remember that.
Okay. All right, so JJ, what have you been playing lately?
Metaphor.
Okay,
20 plus hours into it now, so not too far into it, but it's good. It's good.
Now, this is a game from the creators of Persona. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And but I've heard this is a lot better than Persona.
Yeah, the fighting system's a little bit better. The only problem that I have with this game, and like all their games, you know, I forgot to see someone pretty early on, so I'm not going to get 100%. I kind of look back and see what I missed. And so, you know, you dedicate that kind of time into it. You know, it's probably going to be about 100 hours by the time I'm done. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to go back and revisit that. You know, it's going to be pretty tough. The fighting system's great. The story's pretty good. I enjoy it, and I think it looks good. For me to put 20 plus hours into it in January is pretty big for me.
Yeah, that's really impressive, putting 20 hours into any game at this point.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
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 Well, but so, with that said, I look at, like, I still have college football. That's always kind of a go-to, and then there's, like, 100 plus hours on that, so it's like, nah. I mean, I do have time. It's just where I'm putting it, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, did you get to your dream job of coaching Tennessee?
I did. So I'm a Tennessee coach. I beat Texas. You know, it's just a great life coaching at Tennessee. Good.
I was going to say, did you do better against Ohio State than the real Tennessee did?
So I didn't get the job until 30, 31, 6 or 7 years into the 30, 31, 20, 31. Sorry.
I was like, damn, they still have college football.
Yes, it's played by robots and mutants now.
My bad. You know, put a lot of hours into that game. I was going to say,
JJ, are you playing Mutant League instead? Is that what you're playing?
What was the arcade football robot game? Cyberball, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Oh, wow.
So I think the hardest game I had to play was Oregon that year, and I beat them by 3 points. So,
woo, okay. You know. Way to go.
So you guys heard it first. 30-31, we will beat Oregon by 3.
Tennessee will beat Ohio State. Oh, wow. That'll be worth the robot revolution if that actually happened. All right. Mikey, what about you, pal?
So I started playing Indiana Jones.
Skid's been playing.
And it's really fucking good.
Okay. Like,
why haven't I heard more about this game outside of, like, it? I know I saw the reveal trailer, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting, because it's Bethesda doing it.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I think it's Bethesda, right?
Yeah. I'm checking.
But, man, this game is so much fun. And it's, like, the dude that does the voice for Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Is better than fucking Harrison Ford doing it.
It's Joel from Last of Us, right?
Yeah,
it's the dude that's in everything. Yeah. Which,
Troy Baker.
Not Matt Mercer, but the other one who looks like him.
BioShock Infinite, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, initially, I would have thought, God, stop using the same dude for everything, but oh my God, does he do such a great job. Like, if they brought Harrison Ford in there,
he would just sound
like
old.
Yeah, he would do a good job, but he his voice, we've been watching Shrinking, and
oh, we were watching that too.
Like, you can't have him play a younger version of himself now, because you can just hear his age in his voice so
much. Yeah, the fourth movie, or the fifth one just came out. Was pretty good, but the beginning where they have him like young is like, yeah, the young CG or whatever looks pretty good, but he still has that old man voice, so it's so weird.
Oh, I forgot there was a fifth movie.
Yeah, me
it's
too.
Good. It's good. Good. Yeah, it's fun.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, anything after Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls.
I enjoyed Crystal Skulls, so maybe I'm not the right person to. I mean, you can see what they're trying to go for, but you know.
I didn't hate it either. I mean, when we rewatched it recently, I was like, oh, I don't like this actually. But when I saw it in the theater, I thought it was fun because it felt like the ride at Disneyland.
Okay.
So the story for this game is fucking insane as well.
Okay.
I want to say so much about it, but I don't want to spoil it. And I think that you guys can play it, because I'm pretty sure it's on PlayStation as well.
Not yet. It won't come out until April.
Skid's been streaming it.
It's such a good game.
So is it the way I've only seen a couple of clips and previews, because I'll admit I'm not the biggest indie guy.
To play, because it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it first person though? Is it like Skyrim but indie?
Yeah, it's first person. Okay. It does not really control like Skyrim and Fallout though. It feels like it's a different engine that they're using. I didn't ever play the Uncharted games, but I assume that it's similar, and it's like Uncharted was third person though, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so that, like, this still uses a lot of climbing.
Okay.
And kind of a more traditional adventure controls. The combat is pretty fun. There's a lot of kind of found weapons, so you just really pick up anything, and you can only use it a couple times before it breaks.
Okay.
Oh.
But there's because they don't want you to fight very much, but then you have to fight. So it's kind of a, like, they encourage you to try to do things stealthily. And it makes sense, because that's how it would be in the movies. Like, he's not gonna, like, he'll be a badass when he needs to be, but he's not gonna go in and, like, just mow everybody down.
True. I was gonna say, Do you have the bullwhip the entire time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can use it to disarm people. It's cool. And like you get to do everything that you see in the movies that you want to do.
Okay.
In a game.
I'm gonna assume it's set before maybe like in the chronology.
It's 36 or 37.
So it would be after one.
No, before one, then, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, because there's no war yet, so yeah. Right?
Yeah, because he was fighting Nazis in yeah. Raiders of the Lost
Ark. You're in Rome for one of the chapters, and fascists are starting to take over the city.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it, but Hitler is around.
Hitler is a playable character.
Playable Hitler DLC from spring 2024.
No, I knew there were Nazis because I heard Skid yelling that he's punching Nazis.
Okay.
Well, it's so much fun. Like, and it's cool that every chapter you're in like a different location, but then it's still kind of open world within these locations, so like you'll be backtracking and finding stuff, but then there will be chapters where it's more linear to get you through what the story is telling you.
Okay.
But there's, oh man, I really want to talk about this one chapter because it is just freaking mind-bending, but I don't want to spoil it. But I want to talk about it. But I don't want to spoil it.
So it says, in short, the game takes place in between 1 and 3. So,
1 okay. and 3.
Yeah, so yeah, two? Raiders and Last Crusade. Well, 2 is a prequel.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that's right. That blonde.
You can collect stuff throughout the game that kind of give you like little bits and pieces of story. And some of the stuff that you collect will be making reference to the movies, like okay. events that have happened and that kind of stuff.
What about making reference to Young Indiana Jones? That TV series, yeah. I used to like that.
I don't know.
What about references to Short Round?
Or his film Resurgence?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm surprised he's not.
Big moment.
I was going to say, did they find a way to retcon the Spike versus, again, to Young Indiana Jones, his daughter, in that series? Did they? Any way to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You'll have to ask Skid.
So I guess the introduction to the game, because you know every game has its way of trying to show you the mechanics.
Sure.
So they use the bit from the movie.
Oh, the one that they caught.
Throw me the idol.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you get to play through that sequence.
I'm
saying
they copied from UHF, right?
I was gonna say yeah. The scene from UHF.
God, we just saw Weird Al doing. Jason Sudeikis does this. Like a fundraiser every year.
Okay.
And Weird Al performed a song that was pretty funny. It was what's that Chapel Roan song?
I have no idea.
Was so popular.
No idea, man.
Hot to Go. They just sang that. It was pretty funny.
Wish I knew the
song. I mean I knew it happened a couple of years ago, but I think it is more clear to me now than it has ever been that I have lost connection to any sort of modern music. Like, everyone gets to that point where music just stops and then you can listen to music before that point. I think mine is about, I'll just say 2015 is where music just stops for me.
Mine is well before that because I got...
Really?
I started listening to only J-rock in high school, in my weeb phase.
Okay.
And then after that, I just got into, like, Regina Spektor and... like this band I found in high school, The Birthday Massacre, which I still love. And like never anything that was actually on the radio. Occasionally one song will find its way to me and I'm like, oh, I like this. And then I find out it's top 40 and I have an existential crisis because I'm such a snob. But
I think
I don't think that's true for JJ and I at all. We listen to everything.
Now you guys are musicians.
I listen to everything within, but not like all genres, but I just for some reason never get into like what's popular.
Yes, I'm kind of like her. I was like, I'll listen to anything genre except country. And like the day it was over for me was when I heard Pearl Jam on WIMZ, classic rock. And I was like, that was just like, oh God, it's time. It's time to be the old man I was always meant to be.
Well, I mean, if you think about the point where we are in life, if you go back and look at like classic rock with Pearl Jam being there, think about the older music on the radio when we were kids, at least for me and you, Josh, it would have been like Big Rock Candy Mountain or, you know.
Yeah. No. So here's the other kicker. I realized, I think it was maybe 2-3 years ago, they had the halftime special at the Super Bowl was Dr. Dre and
Eminem. I remember
all those guys. Yeah. So I remember thinking to myself, yeah, man, I remember like when my mom, like 20 years ago, my mom was stoked when the Rolling Stones were on there.
Yeah.
They only had old people bands. And then I was like, oh God. Oh God, no. That's why they're on here. They're the old people band now.
That's funny though. I love the idea of like nursing homes playing 50 Cent.
Yes.
Was it a Nick Swardson joke?
Yes.
Yeah.
Your grandmother was a hoe.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I heard so they played. I think it was a Honey Nut Cheerios commercial or it was some cereal where they were doing like they did like a parody of Ignition, the remix to Ignition in there. song, and I was like, damn, what does this mean? Wow. Like, now, like, little kids are knowing this song because of cereal when they should be inappropriately knowing it because it's on the radio.
Oh, wow. All right, so I guess
just to put a pin on that, there's plenty of great music that's still being made, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying like we don't listen to anything from the recent times. It's just the top 40. I tend to not know.
Oh, I'm not involved in the top 40 either.
Yeah,
I don't know who they are.
I was pretty broken up because one of my favorite bands, they just put out a surprise, no announcement or anything, second album last year at the end of the year, and then they were like, yeah, we're done now.
Aww. This one synth artist I like, Future Cop, a couple years ago, he was like, I'm done with music forever. And then he undid that and now puts out a new single like every other month.
They left it open. They're like, yeah, we're not going to do this for a while. It might not be the end, but for the foreseeable future.
There's a new Japanese Breakfast album coming out.
Yeah.
Is it related to Honey Nut Cheerios or
no?
Remember, 2015 was the year the music died for Josh.
I usually just have like a traditional American breakfast, I guess.
Beans on toast.
Wow. Spot of tea.
No, I was going to say, did you have the English breakfast?
No, I don't like
there?
Beans.
Oh, they have beans in their breakfast?
It's beans, yeah. Beans and...
bacon... a toast and like a grilled tomato.
Yeah,
it's
like tomato, just tomato with like stuff on it.
It is a very interesting and it's
start your day with all the acid in the world.
Yeah, but you know what? The bacon over there, it was not very salty. Like everything was, it wasn't bland. It just wasn't super salty. Everything felt nice, and the portions are a lot smaller, which was also very good. but I actually had we went to this one restaurant that is called either Cote or Cote, I don't know, but probably Cote. And they had, I ordered the pork belly and I was like, man, I don't know. But it came out looking like a salmon, and it was just like, the skin was perfectly crispy. It was so nice underneath. It came with like some kind of green thing. I forgot what it was. It was so good. And then like scalloped potatoes. And then Skid got like, he got like we got pies, like meat pies, which are not human. And it was animal meat, non-human animal meat, chicken and I think he got a beef one. Yeah, we ate really well. I was not expecting to find the food good at all, just because of the stigma. But at least in London, it was all really good.
Did you have fish and chips?
No.
Okay.
I had a lot of coffee. All right. There's coffee stands everywhere, and it was so cold. We just bought one every time we passed one so that we could hold on to them.
Just like a hand warmer. I like
yeah.
that.
Although okay. I think the English breakfast sounds amazing, but chasing it down with a coffee.
That's what like no man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well, it is funny because to hear that they have coffee shops everywhere, since it always seems to be a coffee versus tea conversation between over here and over there.
I guess, I don't know. It's again, it was London, so it was not, I think, not like the best like picture of English life. I guess it'd be like if you come to America for the very first time and only go to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably like, that's a good analogy.
Because it's like really international, so you might not even feel like you're somewhere else. I don't know. Because, yeah, I don't know. It didn't feel like America, but I didn't feel like I was in a different country the whole time. Gotcha. I was there. Except
Mike, did you play anything else besides Indy?
No. Well, I'll go back to Indiana Jones. Everybody should play it because it's okay. really good. I think the story is up there with the movies, if not better. It's such a cool story.
Wow.
God, I really want to tell you one of the... Well, I'll just say that one of the locations you go to is the Himalayan mountains. Uh-huh. You're like at the top and there is a Nazi aircraft carrier that's okay. on the top of a mountain.
Okay.
And you go through it. It's fucking nuts. It's
Mount Everest, gotcha. Perhaps?
No.
All right.
But there's a boat on top of a mountain.
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd the boat get up there? Do you find out?
Oh, okay.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, it's such a cool game. I was playing that a lot around New Year's,
mm-hmm.
and then work ramped up, so I haven't gotten an opportunity to play it in about a week and a half. But
sure,
I will definitely go back to it. It's really cool. Surprisingly good.
Glad to hear.
But that's all I have played.
Okay. Well, like, you know, I kind of went through a drought of playing games at the end of last year and stuff like that, so I've definitely made a concerted effort to change that, and I'm glad to announce I have been playing a few games. So the first game I played is called Chorus. I don't think anybody would have heard this. This game apparently came out in 2021.
Oh. What are you playing it on?
Xbox. It is a space combat game, and it's published by Deep Silver, so it's kind of an indie game. It's very interesting because I've always had a bit of a problem with flight games, like even like Ace Combat and stuff like that, which I don't hate those series. I actually have Ace Combat 5. I've always wanted a game where it's just like, I don't want it to be too realistic as far as flying goes, but I don't want it to be like, you know, Afterburner either.
Mm-hmm.
Although I totally love Afterburner. So this game is a nice little thing in between. And I just saw a random like ad for it one day because it was on sale for like $2.99 or something like that. And I looked at it and I was like, wow, this is kind of like I've always wanted to have The Last Starfighter as a game. And this kind of meets that itch. You know, I've been impressed with games like Star Wars had Squadrons, which was pretty good, but it's a little too more flight simulator versus I really just want to play the old Rogue Squadron games again, kind of. But I want a modern feel to it.
An arcade flying.
Yeah, and that's what this one is, except it's got a really interesting story they're trying to build into it, and it's got like some galactic cult stuff and stuff like that, but it has a mechanic I never thought I would see in a flying game of, like, it has puzzle sections. Like, you have to fly into, like, let's just call it a temple or something like that, and you have to explore with your spaceship, which is kind of fun. But then they're like, hey, guess what would be fun if you drifted around corners like you were in a race car in this ship? And I was like, no, that's not fun. So it kind of took me out of it a little bit. Mm. It's, like I said, it's, I don't think I would ever have played this game if I'd not seen it advertised on sale for $2. And then I looked into it further. Really graphically impressive, I'll say that. And then I kind of went back and played a few old favorites. After the snow here, I was like, I'm ready for spring. And so I was like, you know what you do in spring? You mow some yards. And started back to the lawnmower simulator.
Oh, no.
For just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just to get the winter blues gone for just a second. And then I was like, you know what else I want to do? I want to drive race cars. So I went and played Forza Horizon 3 just because I wanted to play a couple of cars. That was fun. But the good news is I'm back to not like dreading playing games. Hopefully I'll get to some of those games I bought. You know, I still haven't opened Zelda and played it. It's shameful, honestly.
It's very good.
All right. Any other games we want to talk about that we've played or anything we're looking forward to? I think we talked in our last episode about stuff we were looking forward to in 2025. Anybody had any updates on their stuff besides Samantha's game that's getting its big patch in March or update in March?
That's important.
Not that I can think of.
That's important.
Everybody's been very silent about things that are coming up.
It has been. Like, we usually have at least one game to look forward to in the first quarter, but I can't think of anything that's not going to be potentially delayed a lot. Like, I think Assassin's Creed was supposed to come out the first quarter, but I think it's been pushed back. And
yeah, it got delayed again.
Yeah.
And again. Yeah.
We kind of touched on it in a previous episode, but I feel like I don't have, like, a reliable source to, I would like to stay in touch with what's coming out and everything without it being such a time consuming endeavor.
Yeah.
Something like Reddit, where I can just get the highlights of stuff without having to sift through a bunch of not relevant information.
Yeah, that's the problem with Reddit's video game forums, is it's like they're always like, oh, do you remember playing this game or this?
It's yeah, it's like, either hyper specific, like the I'm yeah. on the Nintendo subreddits, and that kind of keeps me in touch with that, but there's not like an equivalent for the Xbox without it being a ton of shit that I don't care about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was just gonna point that out.
And I used to back in like the 360 era, I used to browse Kotaku, but it got way, way, way shittier over time.
What about Polygon?
I was going to say IGN, maybe?
No. Every time I see an article that takes me to IGN, or sometimes like whenever I'm looking for tips on games, there'll be an IGN article, and I fucking despise their website. Because it constantly crashes and reloads, so you'll be in the middle of, like, you have to scroll forever to get to the shit that you actually are looking for. And by the time you get there, it fucking spits you back up to the top of the screen. Fix your website, IGN.
Yeah, fix your website.
I was going to say, it's definitely not the IGN of old anymore. That used to be great for, like, walkthroughs and stuff like that. But no. I guess with, like, the advent of, like, YouTube, where you can just have the video walkthroughs now, it's not as prevalent as it once was. And
I can't stand video walkthroughs either, because I get into a screaming match every time I'm watching these videos, because I'm like, just get to the fucking point. Hey guys, in this video I'm going to tell you how to cross this bridge. But before I do, smash that like button. Oh, and by the way, did you know that you could also see? And then they'll go into their spiel and
Okay.
So I guess this is not the time to bring up. I was like, do we want to make a Funsphere Game Club YouTube channel? I guess not.
Only if it's sponsored by ExpressVPN.
I was going to say, what's that that mobile game that also gets brought up all the time? It's like a MOBA one. Oh, God. I can't remember. It's
well, okay. It's I saw a poster for Shin Yun in London. So I was like, great. I won't miss it, even though I'm in the UK.
Great. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, I guess if we don't have anything else to talk about at the moment, we'll call it here, and we'll see you next time, folks.
See
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.